it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me this week. My cohort in crime, Miss Sandra Myers, is in studio with me this week. Sandra, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Jerry, very much. It's always good to be here.
You have another humdinger of a program. Today, we are going to discuss MK Ultra in the digital age. Can you give us a brief overview, review, synopsis of what MK Ultra was?
Well, as probably a lot of our listeners know, because Texas talked about it, and it's a big part of one of the reasons why we don't trust the government so much. It was unethical and illegal human experimentation where they used psychedelics like LSD and other psychotropics to manipulate people's minds to try and create their thoughts, steer their thoughts, create terror in them, create kind of like mind-controlled slaves, sometimes through trauma, sometimes through, when you're on an acid trip. I've never done any of that stuff like that. But I knew I had friends that did, and they would sometimes talk about their bad acid trips and things like that. Well, when you put this under government control and they bring in people, sometimes they sign up for it, sometimes they don't sign up for it. It's the ones that didn't sign up for it that was the illegal and unethical part of it. But they would manipulate people's minds, sometimes drive them crazy to suicide, jumping off of bridges, try and program them into different thought patterns, chemical, biological, radiological methods of mind control. Adjusted for inflation, they say over $87 million was spent on trying to do this. LSD, like I said, it was just kind of in hypnosis. Under all these psychotropics, they would try to use hypnosis so that they could steer a person into doing things that they might not ordinarily do. And when you inflict trauma and the hypnosis I'm not being very clear on this. Most of our listeners probably know this better than I do myself. But you create a mind-controlled slave. And that person has the potential for, we all saw the movie Manchurian Candidate. And some would say, well, it's just a movie and that never happened. But I don't know. I beg to differ. I think when you create the trauma and the psychedelics and stuff, you steer them. They knew that this was the wrong thing to do. They knew it so much so that when they finally got found out, they tried to destroy all the evidence. Sidney Gottlieb was a big proponent of that. He destroyed everything he could get his hands on. Even with the MK Ultra, they even had secret detention camps. I think a lot of this has changed nowadays. Now it's, these were more targeted type of people that were under smaller laboratory conditions where they could be viewed and treated basically like lab rats, basically in detention camps, all over the world even. In the U.S., in Japan, in West Germany, in the Philippines, other places in Europe. CIA, we've all heard about the extraordinary renditions by the CIA of traitors, you might say, against America, perceived traitors. But they would get you know, the psychoactive drugs, the electroshock, all this different stuff. And they would do it outside of the U.S. so that they would be more hands-off, or by appearance anyway. So in 73, this was all finally starting to come out. But it really hasn't stopped. I think that this has really just, the face of it has changed. The organizations themselves have dissipated, like Fort Detrick and some of their experimental labs that they had. A lot of that has been officially shut down. But what happened in the news here recently, not quite so recently, Havana Syndrome came along back in, what was it, in 2016. Some of our diplomats had gone down to Havana, Cuba, and they started getting sick. They couldn't stand. They couldn't think straight. They got physically sick. And there was no specific, they call it an anomaly, of health incident. But what happened in the news here recently, when we invaded Venezuela, and it is what it is, and took Maduro out of there, one of the things that made the news very recently was, and even Carolyn Leavitt talked about this, the press secretary for the White House, they used a machine or a...
They used some kind of apparatus, too.
It was an apparatus that they had purchased to do that same sort of thing.
The guards have said that it was so debilitating that they couldn't function. They couldn't get up off the ground.
Right. The government struggled to, our government struggled to explain what had happened affecting the diplomats, the intelligence officers, and military people around the world. Now, as it turns out, we have purchased the equipment to be able to do this. Earlier this month, recently, White House Press Secretary, I'm going to read a little bit here, Carolyn Leavitt reshared a post on X alleging that the U.S. used a mystery sonic or sound-based weapon during January 3rd raid that led to the removal of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. So this is from the White House. So we're acknowledging that we have purchased this emitting of pulse radio waves type of contraption in order to target people. And basically, one description that I read is that they felt like their head was going to explode.
Yeah, I know one of the guards said he didn't want to go through that again.
Right. So this is more mind control manipulation. Did it get learned from the MK Ultra experiment? Well, you know, one of the things about the MKUltra experiments, as well as other biological and chemical testing and stuff like that that goes on in these secret labs, it's being done all over the world. It's hard to justify it. It is a very bad thing, but it's happening all over the world. It's happening in China, as we know, like Wuhan Lab. Some of it's funded directly by us. Some of it is done by them. Some of it, they let us fund it, and then they steal the technology themselves and then magnify it. So back to the MKUltra, we're even seeing some of these types of experiments now being used in warfare. Jerry, we've had several callers who have talked about being targeted individuals.
Yep.
And early on, I pretty much dismissed them. I asked one person that still calls the ministry regularly. I said, why you? Who are you that they would want to target with any kind of surveillance, with any kind of potential mind altering, as we've seen it already. You know, there's a machine that does this sort of thing. We've seen it even in the past for crowd control. So I asked her, what makes you so special that they would want to target you? And you know, when I read stuff like this, I realize that is the perfect person to target, because they will, it's just a singular person, and other people like me will say, well, why you? It's the perfect person to target. So I'm not saying that every targeted individual is specifically a targeted individual, but sadly, I know what my government is capable of. I know, too, that government pay universities and other research facilities and take over these experiments for themselves, just as they probably did whatever this was that created the Havana syndrome and the Venezuela Maduro snatching sort of thing.
You mentioned all the labs and places. CIA is all over the world with these clandestine facilities. And we know after Ukraine started the war with Russia, or vice versa, however you want to look at it, but it came out that there are 16 bioweapons labs funded by U.S. tax dollars in the Ukraine. That's just one small snippet. And talking about the targeted individuals, the TIs as they're known, if it's individual based, then they're going to look like they've got mental health issues. It's not a group. It's not a conglomerate. It's not a whole town. It's an individual here, an individual there. And because it's a regular citizen, there's no group for them. It's easy to turn these people in and write them off and claim that they are mentally ill, that they have a problem. But you're right. If you think about it from MK Ultra, what they did, I mean, they snatched people and encamped them and did horrible, abusive things to people without anybody realizing what was going on. This is not out of the realm of possibility for our government. It really isn't.
No, sad to say, you and I did a couple shows on unethical human experimentation. We mentioned MKUltra, but we didn't get into it in great detail. But this is kind of one of those things where it's, like you said, they snatch people, they encamp them, and they just put them through hell with whatever it was that. It boggles my mind, Jerry, just how evil the government can allow this stuff to happen to citizens. But that's kind of another show for another day, because it's worldwide. It's happening in other countries against their own citizens. I feel like just fodder for the cannon, really.
Yeah, and we're the nut jobs because we care to expose it.
Yep. They said Jim Jones's Guyana encampment, where everybody drank the Kool-Aid, that was supposed to have been one mass MKUltra sort of thing about mind control. And this, I hate to say this, but this is what happened with some religions too, some movements. You get people caught up. I'm getting off track here, but people get caught up in this stuff and they kind of go along with the crowd. And I'm going to back off of this for a moment and go back to something else that's kind of related to getting caught up. Serial shooters, serial mass shooters. We have Harrison Klebold from Columbine High School in Colorado. We have Adam Lanza, who did the Sandy Hook thing. We have Aiden Hale, who's formerly known as Audrey Hale, who did the school up in the Covenant School up in Nashville in 2023. We had Salvador Rolando Ramos, who did Uvalde's school in 2022. We had the Virginia Tech shooter. The thing is, one of the things that they all have in common, besides the fact that they're young men, is that they're young enough men where they were steerable. They had a lot of self issues. They didn't fit in. They were typically bullied horribly. Teachers would turn a blind eye to it. A lot of them were on psychotropics or at one point or another. Not all of them. There was one that came out that said that they were never on psychotropics, but that they had looked up sociopaths. So they kind of knew who they were and that they weren't fitting in. These all are young, steerable men who, I'm gonna jump track here again, because one of the things, all these are fairly recent. Columbine was a little bit longer ago. That was in the late 90s. I was living in Colorado, probably 30 or so miles away from that when this happened. But they all played their video games, usually the violent ones, whether it were World of War or things like that. Harrison Klebold from Columbine, they were on antipsychotics. Adam Lanza was autistic and Asperger's and OCD and schizophrenic, and he played the World of Warcraft. These are all steerable. Okay, with a young person in their adolescence, they are in so much turmoil as it is with their body going through the processes of becoming an adult, that they are so susceptible to some of these things that are going on in their bodies, in their minds, and being steered by the antipsychotics that they're taking them, or they've kind of become one big experiment. Thomas Crook, the one who, the would-be shooter for President Trump, parents were social workers. They didn't have a close relationship, so Thomas was kind of self-steering and also into crazy things online himself. This is one of the things that I really want to talk about extensively in this, and that is our digital footprint. These people are all online playing games, and they're also accessing various social media type of things. I think Thomas Crooks was on Discord as opposed to like Facebook and things like that. And Discord is not as popular as Facebook. They're all on this path of steerability. And with the antipsychotics, with the bullying from kids, withholding of affection by parents because they're not the idyllic child, perhaps, it all steers them. But with social media, I want to jump a little bit and read out of a book called Mind Masters, and the author is Sandra Matt, because this is probably one of the things that makes society in general a candidate for like probably the biggest MK Ultra type of experiment that there is. Okay? So this woman, this author, Sandra Matt, she's on the liberal side, but her writing is very good. The book is called Mind Masters. Well, I wanted to offer it through the ministry, but it apparently they're not going to work with us on a very good discount, so I'm going to read to you a little bit from it. She's talking about her day here. She's talking about she wakes up and laying by the bedside is her phone, because that's her alarm clock too. So before she ever gets out of bed, she's checking her Facebook and her WhatsApp. She scans her emails and she catches up on the latest news. Then she goes out, but before she goes out, she puts on her smartwatch so that she can get all of her steps logged on her smartwatch. So she's on her way out. She goes, takes the dog for a walk and runs around the, you know, with the dog a little bit, comes home, takes a shower, grabs her phone and wallet and heads out to work. On the way, she picks up a matcha latte tea and a croissant from the deli, and she gets to work by 9. Okay, so look, here's the big part. In less than 1 hour, I had generated millions of digital footprints. On a server somewhere around the world, there are now millions of digital records of messages I have sent and received. Might be cute pictures of her nieces, or might be pictures of her dogs that she's sending. The fact that I checked in with Facebook from my home location, spent 10 minutes reading different articles at CNN's website, I took about 2,000 steps walking the dog. In addition, the phone sensors, or the sensors in my phone, have registered that there was physical activity starting from 8 a.m. and tracked where she went by the GPS that's in her phone. The cameras on the corners of streets outside the deli, inside the elevators, have all collected visuals telling them exactly where I was at any point in time, whether I was alone or accompanied, whether I looked happy or not. Like the average person, you and I, get this number, generate about 6 gigabytes of data every hour. Every single hour. Just imagine how many USB drives you would need to save all the data that accumulates over the course of your lifespan. And that's only one person's data. Worldwide, there are now estimated 149 zettabytes of data. That is 149 with 21 zeros after it, with numbers doubling every year. And as the population grows, it will be exponentially more. So if you put all that information on CD-ROMs and stack them on top of each other, it would reach far past the moon. They know that this particular author likes Taylor Swift, likes techno music, likes traveling because of the credit card history, knows the GPS records and where she likes to go for walks, how much walking she likes to do. Also within our phones, we look at health data, and this is separate from the book. We look at our own health data. Our health data is collected in various places, in doctor's offices, and like I said, on our phones. If we strap on our smartwatch, it'll see whether our heart rate is getting up to a good rate or not, whether we move very much or not move very much, whether we're going to be a healthy person or whether probably by the time we hit 65, we're going to hit the Medicare system for all it's worth because we're not healthy. There's just so much digital information out there on this, on our lives that we're putting out there. And how this ties to MKUltra is the fact that they are using this digital information, the digital computer in the sky. They use machine learning so that, let's say as a person, I might, if I were on Facebook, and I am, but I don't interact a whole lot as far as putting stuff up there. But let's say I wish somebody a happy, wonderful, or a happy and blessed birthday. So I sound like a happy person, or I'm congratulating somebody on a new job. And of course, when I put that on there, I want to sound happy. But if they saw my searches last night in preparation for this radio show, they would see how much time I spent up looking up serial shooters. They would see how much time I spent looking up MKUltra as I prepared for the show over the past couple weeks. They would find out how much time I looked up, like, Sidney Gottlieb, who destroyed all kinds of evidence from the MKUltra. But there has been a new book on that, from his notes that he didn't get destroyed and from other people's notes. There's so much data that they know about you that it is said that they know you, whoever is controlling the data, knows you better than you know yourself. Like I said, what I post on Facebook is always happy and light and good and stuff like that. And then what I was actually searching for last night looks pretty doggone dark. Yep. That's now part of my record.
You know, the fact that you said if it was on a CD, it would stack up higher past the moon. That's miles and miles and miles of data that they accumulate on us. The manipulation that was behind MKUltra, trying to get people to think a certain way, to act a certain way, to do certain things at certain times. And you have to wonder how much of that has filtered down to the psychiatry department, the diagnosis of ADHD in children and put them on some kind of methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
How much was Big Pharma involved? Because you know that CIA had, or whoever was behind MKUltra, all the doctors, they had access to Primo chemicals to experiment on these subjects, willing and unwilling. But you extrapolate all of that from back in the 60s, 70s to now. You just mentioned all the data they're taking up on you.
How much easier is it to be able to pick a target to fine-tune the programming?
Therein lies the key word.
To create a monster.
The key word, programming. Because even though what MKUltra did was illegal, the digital spying, all of the gathering of data, because if it's in the air, the Supreme Court has said that it is free for anybody to grab. So this wireless network, your home, if you've got a landline but you use a wireless phone, it's still out in the ether and anybody can gather it. And this is legalized MKUltra because you and I, let's just for grins and giggles right now, say that I'm interested in a 1974 Ford Gran Torino. How many dollars do you want to bet that on our Facebook pages or on an ad that pops up on one of the web pages, there'll be something about a 1974 Ford Gran Torino that will show up?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, one example happened when a young girl, a teenager, had gone to the clinic, and afterwards, she was given ads advertising in her Facebook for, I think it was baby clothes or something like that. And she had not even told her parents yet that she was pregnant.
Yeah, that's the power of what they are doing with these cell phones. And we're going to get into that in the second half, but the data, the manipulation, the programming that has shifted from illegal to now legal, pseudo legal in the way we're working on society today. It is unbelievable. And Sandra has struck another gold mine on this topic. I mean, we could talk for 3 or 4 hours on this. Just on this topic alone, it is that pervasive in our everyday life. My guest today is Sandra Myers. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We have to take a brief pause, and when we come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Mind control, the MKUltra files. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. With roots deep in the history of military sciences and largely beginning after World War II, The history of mind control studies is a rich and fascinating one. The quest to conquer the human mind was attempted by the Central Intelligence Agency shortly after the end of the Second World War with the creation of the MKUltra project. Comprised of 149 sub-projects, the goal of this program was to study the effects of drugs and different types of radical procedures on unwitting civilians in order to better understand how to create and interrogate spies during the Cold War. The results and actions taken by numerous agencies, doctors, and scientists over a 30-year period would come to light to Congress in the 1977 Church Committee hearings as some of the most shocking and bizarre stories ever perpetrated by a democratic government on its own people. This documentary features an exclusive interview and presentation by trauma expert Dr. Colin Ross. The MKUltra Files documentary is an examination of some of those experiments and the effects they have had on our culture. This is a 60-minute documentary DVD. We're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Mind Control, the MKUltra Files, right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. If you don't have a copy, you need to get yours today. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Sandra Meyer. Sandra, welcome back.
Thank you, Jerry.
Now, during the break, we were talking about the myriad of different programming avenues that are available. You talked about Discord earlier. It's a chat room more so than social media, but social media in and of itself, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter X, they're all gathering data, but they're also manipulating people, and especially teenagers, aren't they?
Yes, they sure are. Social media, you know, these are such formative years for these kids. And, you know, parents, unfortunately, are playing into it because it's just so easy to hand your two-year-old your phone to distract them and everything, and they get tickled by, you know, all the flashy colors, and when they do something, it tickles their curiosity and manipulates them into another thing. In this one particular case, there's a trial that is starting, jury selection is starting here, in a high-profile case against Meta, which is Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. A 19-year-old identified as KGM and her mom are suing companies alleging they designed their platforms to be addictive, fueling KGM's mental health crisis. KGM says she began using social media at 10, which I'm surprised it was not even sooner than that, alleging addictive design, including frequent notifications. It fostered her dependency on the platforms, you know, for that dopamine hit sort of thing, and contributed to her anxiety and depression. well, let's say you post something up there that you think is bright and cute and you get horrible feedback from it. And that's devastating. And so you're looking for some new fix. It's kind of like a heroin addict, I guess. Anyway, so she also alleges that recommendation features suggested harmful body image content. And, you know, these young people, that's one of the things that they're going through. Their bodies are in the stages going between adolescence and adulthood. Top executives, including Zuckerberg, are expected to appear before the court to rebut the claims. Well, of course they are. No, this is not addictive. Cigarettes are not addictive. This is not addictive.
You know, when I first joined Twitter, personally, I can vouch for the addictiveness of that platform, because I would get on there and spend hours. I would read what other people posted. I would post, start interactions. Didn't even realize the effect that it was having on me mentally. But now that you mention the fact that it sparks up the dopamine and you start looking for other stuff and you start interacting, I could see how, especially in a teenager or a preteen, mm-hmm. how this could really, I mean, it's almost as bad as giving them Ritalin or Prozac or something yep. like that. I mean, just the entire operation. Good luck to Meta and Zuckerberg.
Well, here's the problem with that. The companies are expected to rely on a law under Section 230 that protects platforms from liability over content posted by their users. So they're trying to, of course, deny their culpability in this. And that's what the law do, is always deny, deny, deny. And it's true, well, we could talk about other institutions that are the same way. Oh, like pharmaceuticals, maybe. Deny their culpability, too. Anyway, so, you know, good luck with that, because guess who's got the money? Meta, Twitter/X, and all the other ones. So it's going to be, I think, a hard thing to fight. In Australia, when they banned social media for children under 16, I think that's an excellent thing, and even some of them have testified that it has been very freeing for them to not be under the thumb of social media. But like you said during the break, Jerry, who's to say what happens at home when the parents, you know, they want their kid to shut up because the kid's going to complain about not being on there, so the parents are likely going to give in.
Yeah, and if they're latchkey kids, who's to say that they don't fire up the old PC and create an account under their mommy's name or dad's name?
Right. Yeah, it's not hard to fake that sort of stuff. It's, you know, kind of when we were growing up, we'd find a way to, okay, so this is me. My friend got a bottle of, what was it, Boone's Farm wine. Because she was 19 and I was, I think, probably 16 or 17 at the time, something like that. They find a way around it. But the accountability thing, you know, I mentioned like under pharmaceuticals and stuff, pharmaceutical companies, I did that article in the newsletter just a couple months ago about the Cures Act, and it is meant to absolve any pharmaceutical companies, but without telling you.
Yeah, you reported the fact that the lobbyists that worked on this bill, 1,400 registered lobbyists,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're looking out for their employer. They don't care about you or me or anybody else.
Right. And that's just it. And, you know, even under Eli Lilly, a big, huge pharmaceutical company, this article from ammo.com, Eli Lilly quietly paid $20 million to the victims of a horrific Kentucky mass shooting. that was like over 30 years ago. The payment was made 30 years after Joseph Weisbecker, who'd been taking Prozac for 1 month, only 1 month, walked into his office building and killed 8 people, injuring 12 others, and indiscriminately shooting at coworkers. The mass shooting occurred 2 years after the FDA approved Prozac for depression, but it wasn't, that was the first big event like that, but unfortunately it was not the last one. There's other shooters that have been known to be taking antidepressants and what have you, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, the psychotropic drugs, now the gender mutilation and the...
Yes, the hormone interrupters. How crazy is that? That's like that one kid that was previously known as Audrey and came to be known as Aiden. You know, how messed up must there be in their poor little head from all of this?
Think about Big Pharma and the doctors that are pushing this. You know, prior to 2020, transgenderism was considered a mental health disorder by the World Health Organization. And now we're pushing this agenda where, well, Johnny is not really Johnny. He's Janie. Even though he was born Johnny, Johnny identifies as Janie. So we're going to give him estrogen and cut off his genitalia and give him all kind of support. The psychiatrist, the gender doctors, and the hospitals that are pushing this, every one of them is culpable for the harm that they're not only inflicting on these children, whether they go from Jane to John or John to Jane, but the mental health has not been addressed properly. They haven't allowed these kids to grow up and grow into their body. I mean, we all went through strange stages through puberty and early teenhood, late teenhood.
Yeah. But our hormones are running way ahead of our brains.
Yeah. Instead of educating us about that, now we're going to allow them to, and some of the educators, so I put that in quotation marks so you couldn't see it because we're on radio, but they're mind warping these children. They are mind controlling. So MK Ultra was illegal, but it's still going on, isn't it?
It really is. And the lab is now worldwide. I think they like to target, and this is where some of this AI is coming in. That's the machine learning, basically, that is tagging all of these young people who may be susceptible. During the break, we were talking about the demonstrators and stuff up in Minnesota and in other places, how easy it is to target them. They're probably somewhat compelled by money because they don't have other jobs, because they just don't think that way about personal responsibility. But with the social media and that machine learning that knows them better than they know themselves, they know who they can target to get out there to do the crazy radical things, including bringing a gun to a demonstration. It's made their mental lives, their intimate thought processes, more accessible to AI because they're on social media and therefore much more susceptible to manipulation and programming. Factoring, Obama used this some, some of the data information and everything, but it wasn't as developed as it is now. Ted Cruz used it. There was a big thing on Cambridge Analytica, and it was about reading basically all this information and analyzing it and trying to steer. You didn't have to worry about steering the ones that were already, let's say, pro-Trump, because Trump, for his 2016 campaign, used this also. Ted Cruz, when he used it, he was patted on, lauded for it, and you know how smart that was. When Trump used it in 2016, he, of course, got, you know, you might say, verbally strung up over that. But all you're trying to do is sway the undecided voters to vote for you. The undecided voters being the key. You don't have to worry about targeting the ones who already liked Trump or didn't like Trump or what have you as the undecided. It basically allows for moral reframing and programming to drive people in certain directions. And when you know, you see the surface of the happy stuff you post online, but because there's so much more below of what, like what I was searching last night, there's no telling what it'll make of that. So much more will end up coming up that knows which person, which people they can push toward Trump or Cruz or Obama or anybody else. This gives them the tools to manipulate people, and it's psychological targeting.
Very much,
which is
so.
Basically MK Ultra.
Yeah, you know, I've read a number of books, and one of the things I've read was 20% are going to vote left every time, doesn't matter. 20% are going to vote right every time, it doesn't matter. And so if you start thinking about that with Cambridge Analytica, the 60% is who you target.
Right. But within that 60%, you look at what their real habits are, not what they're posting online. It might be about their likes and stuff like that, but it's also their movements throughout the day. Do they, you know, different things that they do. Like I was reading that part in the book where all these things that it knew from Sandra Matz's, just 1 hour of her day, all the things that it knew. Here's the thing about this. This AI and data analyses of our lives, we've talked about all the things that they can do with it and that they are doing with this. But here's what they're not doing with this. They could target you, Jerry, you, and say, start putting things in your path that start making you think about any of us eating healthier, getting more exercise. Jerry, they might even convince you to eat a salad.
That would be a miracle.
So if I see you eating a salad, I will know that they have gotten to you, right?
Most assuredly.
But to be serious about this, though, to become, and this is out of that same book, to become politically engaged, there's a lot of apathetic people out there, and honestly, with as bad as things are in the political environment on both sides, I can understand the apathy. But to pursue things, let's say they see a certain pattern. You remember back when, I never took one, but I know a lot of people did, when you enter the Air Force, you might also take an aptitude test that showed what you were probably best able to do, you know, going forward. Is your mind more analytical? Is it more creative? Are you good with numbers? Are you good with picking out patterns? Are you a people person? So this AI could potentially, if it were to be used for a good power, it could potentially see that you are not math inclined, and I'm talking about any young person. They're not math inclined. They don't learn the standard school way. They probably might be better working with their hands. Maybe they would be a better tradesperson, and they should be a mechanic or an air conditioner repair person or what have you. Or maybe they would see other things in them. Wow, this person has a real analytical mind, and they might be great for being a computer engineer or a rocket scientist or a neurologist or something. They could use this type of machine learning about individuals. They could use their powers for good, but they're not doing that. They could use it to tell people, to promote people, put things in their path that told them to save money for their future, as opposed to spending $10 for a cup of coffee at Starbucks or going out and buying the latest Coach purse or the newest iPhone because it just got released. They could teach people, use this to influence them to live within their means. Do they do that? No. How about personal responsibility for other things? Just being a conscientious person, you know, I ding somebody's or I accidentally backed into somebody's car in the parking lot at the grocery store and I should wait and give them my insurance information and do the right thing. But they don't use this for that. They use it more to stir the masses. It could potentially have some good outcome from this. But they don't use it that way. Instead, they use it to manipulate for bad, which we've already talked about.
Yeah, it seems that their main agenda is to create chaos.
Here's an article that I read. Oh, how manipulating the social media is and how much they track you. A woman in China wanted to relocate to Hong Kong with her husband, but her request was denied. The reason? An algorithm had flagged their relationship as suspicious. The couple hadn't spent enough time in the same place, and when they failed to celebrate the spring festival together, the algorithm sounded the alarms and concluded that the marriage was fake. She couldn't fight it. That is what's happening here too, is you will be, as we move more into social credits and stuff, things will be, you'll be flagged certain ways. You're already being flagged. This is why they feed you certain information. I've hit on this in a couple of different areas, such as on-site pricing. You walk into a place and they know who you are. You drive into the Target parking lot, and because you're there at the Target parking lot, the TV that you were going to buy when you were looking at it at home is $100 now because you're already in the parking lot and still looking it up on your app. That doesn't have anything to do with MKUltra, but it does have everything to do with personal targeting and how they use everything that they know about all this 6 gigs of information that you created in only 1 hour of your day.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if we're lab rats, if we're being experimented on.
Well, that's just it. And they have no respect for us as individuals. We've seen that time and time again, even like during COVID. There were rules for us, but not for them.
Right.
And so we're just cattle in the chute, so to speak, or what have you. And they don't really care about us. I feel like I'm part of a grand experiment. The things that I've seen come up on my phone, and I have not even done a search for it. I said something talking to my husband in the living room, and we have that Alexa thing there. And before you say, well, don't have the Alexa thing there. Well, there was a specific purpose for it, and that is when my husband came home from the hospital, and I was just afraid that if he fell, he would be too weak to be able to reach his phone. And so he could always call out and call me for help by that Alexa thing. So now it's kind of stuck in our lives because he had that stroke back in December. And, you know, here we are stuck with it back in our lives again. But it's also happened in other places.
Yeah,
I can be talking about something. My phone is always listening.
Right. I think you and I have said something at the office. And both of us ended up with targeted ads for whatever we had talked about. I can't remember specifically, but it's just, and you think, well, okay, it's happenstance. Okay. No. We are the lab rats and we're willfully going along with it.
Yep.
We're allowing this digital age to intertwine itself in our daily life to the detriment of our daily life.
Very much so. You said it. I feel like we're just in a giant experiment. We're all lab rats. And I just put down the phone. It's hard to exist now without your smartphone. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe I need to stick it in a soundproof Faraday bag just so that it can't track my every move, because that's intrusive.
It is.
If I stop and visit the convenience store or what have you, and then if you pay, there was a great book by Catherine Albrecht, and I think I mentioned this in your Digital Life book, that talked about how much the grocery stores track you if they have like a rewards thing. But they can track you with your credit card too. When you go through the checkout, I know our HEB here gives me, if I bought cat treats, then it's likely going to give me something else that's cat related and coupons for another visit.
Yeah.
But back to the MK Ultra part of this, all of this just makes us manipulatable and shows the disregard. And yes, it's unethical because we just become part. And I hate to say this, this falls on each one of us. We're personally responsible for a lot of our participation in this. Social media is a lot of fun, but like that one suit says, it's highly addictive, or it can be anyway, just, and then you put on top of that some of the psychotropics that people take. And I bet on the people who show signs of depression or anxiety or even malaise or what have you, I bet they get these ads on their phones. And I don't know, maybe it comes to TVs now because so many people are just downloading, you know, they have their subscription things like in Paramount or what have you, or Hulu. But I wonder if there's targeted ads coming through in TVs also. I know there are regionally, but yeah. We are part of the big, we're all lab rats now, apparently.
Yeah,
and that showed us in COVID too.
Yeah.
During the coronavirus era, how many people would line up and they would fill their social media with stuff about going to get the shot and how healthy they were going to be. And they were doing so much good for their family, and their terrible neighbor refused to get the shot, and how all a part of your data file. They know that you're a good little citizen.
Their social credit score is a lot higher than mine. Because
right.
I'm telling you
but
not to do it.
But it also shows that they're easily manipulatable.
Very much so. The scope
so,
of this program, even though it's allegedly been disbanded, Sandra, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's just changed how it's presented to the gullible masses, and the sheeple are going along with it. Sandra, we have flown through an hour. I know we could go another couple of hours, but man, I thank you so much for coming on and bringing this to our attention and being a guest of Power Prophecy.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's always good to be here and fun to do this.
I can't wait till the next one. I'm not lying. Sandra's programs always intrigue and make you think and awaken the masses. We want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.